Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Cockpit Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
And we got rid of the dead weight.
Yeah! That's what we call it.
But more importantly, thank you to our man in the booth, Jordan White!
Jordan White!
That is not here, but yes, assistant editor of Marvel Comics, Jordan White, is tech for us.
The lesson here is life can take you into terrible places. So,
highs and lows, right, man?
Thank you very much.
Next week, Joe Quesada is here. very exciting stuff. But Pete is off this week because he got married this past weekend.
Yes, we were at his wedding. It was quite an affair.
Yes, it was.
Everyone makes fun of Pete about the same stuff we make fun of him.
Yeah, oh my God. They were doing toasts and I expected it to be like, oh, childhood stories about Pete, stuff about Pete. But no, it was all about his comic book collection.
It was hilarious and terrible.
Yes, we'll get into a little more about that later in the show. Yeah. Right, Justin?
Yeah.
But we have some awesome guests for you tonight. We're very excited to have them here from the magazine Comic Foundry, Laura Hudson and Tim Leong!
Okay.
Thank you. I provided you with water.
Awesome. Without Pete here, the show falls apart. Which is kind of hilarious and weird.
Classic deadly.
So, thank you guys so much for coming on the show. We're very excited to
have
you.
Thanks for having
us.
Yeah,
absolutely. Of course. You just released this, Comic Foundry, issue number 4. So let's talk about it a little bit. Tim, the last time you were here, I think, was before the release of the first issue.
Right.
So now we're 4 issues in. What has changed? What has gone terribly wrong?
Tell us about the first story arc.
Wait for the trade. We are in color now. When we first launched, we were black and white. And that's probably the biggest difference. We had a lot of growing pains. Yeah, just like it's typical. But not Kirk Cameron involved.
We didn't have Boner Stabone on staff. That's true. Right?
What?
Growing pains?
Yeah.
No.
Kirk
Cameron.
Half
Christian now.
Yeah, that's true. So, we're in color now. We were nominated for an Eisner Award, which is pretty cool.
We won
an Eisner.
We won an Eisner. We beat you.
Yeah.
We came here to really just stick to you, you know?
Now you can leave.
Yeah.
We're quarterly now. We come out 4 times a year.
Awesome.
Rather than when we came out one time that one year.
Yeah. Last September. Yeah, that was more of a long test issue. And circulation's up, advertising's up, awesomeness is up. It's going really well.
We'll talk a little bit about what each of you together and separately do on the magazine. Laura?
You want me to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, he's the editor-in-chief. Maybe you should start.
Okay,
you have
the superior
position.
That's true.
It's like me and Justin.
Yeah. I being the superior position.
Right.
Should Pete start?
Ooh.
Oh.
Wow.
Ooh.
Pete's
in charge.
I'm the editor-in-chief and art director and publisher, I guess. Laura works for and Laura's a senior editor.
Do you know what she does?
Yeah. What do you do?
I guess we could start. I used to originally write for Comic Foundry online when it was an online magazine, and then he decided to take it to print, and I sort of became more involved at that point. I do a lot of the writing. I do a lot of the writing. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of the interacting with talent at this point. One of the great things is that I get to write less of the magazine now, which is good because you can only write so much of a particular magazine.
Don't I know it.
But yeah, so much of my time now is spent...
Time magazine.
Yes, I write 50% of it and I don't go any higher.
But I do a lot of, Tim lays out, a lot of people realize this, he lays out every single page of the issue. He does all of the graphic design of that. More and more I've been shifting towards dealing a lot more with the talent, with the writers, with editing and stuff like that. He still does some of that, but I do more of that. He also has a day job, which keeps him kind of busy all day.
Hence the name.
I don't have a day job. I'm a freelance writer, aside from doing this, so I have more time to sit around and field the emails and send them out to everybody else.
And for those who don't know, Comic Foundry, I think the thing that's most interesting about the magazine is it doesn't really choose a side. It's not like we're the indie magazine, we're the mainstream magazine.
Right.
We're comic fans, and right. This is what we're interested in talking about.
Yeah. It's basically something for everyone, because, you know, I don't just read Batman, and I don't just read, something else that's not
Superman.
Yeah. I don't read manga, and I don't just read indie books, you know. I read something from all of them, you know.
Yeah.
And we kind of just felt like the market, and the way the comic book magazine market, the two big ones were really Wizard, which is very superhero.
Wasn't the original title of your magazine "Fuck Wizard"? If I'm remembering correctly.
Well, I mean that.
No, it was "Fuck Wizard."
Oh.
We originally promoted the magazine, and we intentionally made it $5.98 to be a penny cheaper than Wizard, and we used that to promote it for some time.
Yeah.
Well, and since you guys, not to, you know, dig into anybody, but since you guys have released the first issue, Wizard has downsized incredibly.
Yes.
So, do you guys feel like you've won?
I feel like we've won
before
we started.
You fuck Wizard.
But I mean,
they were good.
Yeah.
I used to be able to say that, you know, it wasn't really strictly a competition for Wizard. And I had friends at Wizard, but all my friends got fired, so I can't really say that anymore. but winning, I mean, I think we win just by being the kind of magazine that we are. I mean, Tim founded the magazine and I came on board because we didn't have the kind of magazine that we wanted for comics. So we made it.
Yeah.
And that's a win, I feel like.
No, totally. We didn't have a show about comic books, so we did one.
Yeah.
Which has been going really well for us.
Kind of ridiculous, and it's almost akin to people getting really invested in sports teams.
Right.
You know, I mean, both with the indie and with the superhero, even within superhero. You know, these ridiculous allegiances that, I mean, it's great to be invested in comics and to care about them, but you don't have to care about them to the exclusion of other things. You can like all sorts of things without being disloyal.
Right,
like
you like Mighty Avengers and also New Avengers.
You can do that. You can do that.
Big split there. Big split.
Yeah.
You can like comics and like go on dates. And stuff like that.
True.
See, right?
I haven't heard about that.
Prove it to me.
Let's actually a quick question. So, tell me about this cover. You had an original cover featuring. First question: Mark Millar or Mark Miller?
Miller.
I spoke to him about that actually, and he
yeah.
says that he kind of likes Millar because it sounds so fancy pants, and so he encourages people to use that. But he did say that if it were used in his native Scotland, he would be beaten up. For it.
Wow.
But officially.
As opposed to for being a comic book writer.
Right. I don't know for that, but yes, it is Miller.
Yeah. Okay. So you had a picture for the cover that was different from this one.
Well, we had a shoot that went down in Glasgow. And
I think that's an even trade.
I'm going to show you something.
We had a shoot that went down in Glasgow. And the photographer, it was just for Mark Miller. And the photographer accidentally deleted every single image except for one. And we ran it inside, but...
and I want to say
delete.
That...
Oh, delete. Oh, no. Oh, what am I doing?
I was visiting my parents when we received the only photograph we have of him, and I downloaded it to the desktop, and I got an email from my mom a week later saying, did you download a man of a... man hailing Hitler onto our computer. Kind of looks like it.
Yeah.
I mean, so we thought maybe it shouldn't go on the cover.
It was kind of important. Well, what was great is that they were both in town like 2 weeks prior for a War Hero signing at Midtown Comics. And we happened to go out with them that night. And I happened to have my camera. And we got just a bunch of stuff just to have, you know. And worked out because... The shot.
Wow, what a terrible photographer you had.
Tim did not want to go drinking that night, but I controlled
That's
him
true.
Into it, and we're all so glad that he did.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
we have
a cover.
Because we have
so
a cover now.
So, what do people have to look forward to with Comic Foundry?
Holy shit.
You mean in this issue or the future?
The future.
You want to talk
about
the thing?
Go for it.
Everyone's going to get a chance to read this issue because we're giving away... Later.
Yeah. End of the show, you're all going to go home with a free copy of Comic Foundry.
Just like when you go to see an Oprah show.
And we got new cars. What's going on, guys?
Oh, yeah.
We're just debating.
Yeah, there's lots
talk
of cool
about
stuff. Lots of cool stuff coming up.
Stuff. Yeah.
But this, yeah, this one's our politics issue because I don't know if you, you know, it's politics season.
Well, why?
What?
Really?
We're talking about DC Universe decisions.
That's mentioned, but there are others.
Yeah.
So you can't talk about your next issue.
The next issue comes out in December, late December. We'll have like end of year awards.
We're doing the best of 2008. There's going to be, well, we might be doing the preview.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing an exclusive preview with Greg Rucka's Stumptown.
Oh, cool.
Just like in this one, there's an exclusive preview of Whiteout 3.
Yeah. Ooh. We like Greg Rucka.
Yeah.
We love Greg Rucka.
A lot.
Not so much.
Cool. So that's coming out in December?
Yes.
Excellent.
Do you have a name for the awards you give out? Like a
idea. What should we call it? The Foundies?
Or like the Foundies. It's supposed to be like kind of annoying.
How about the Losties?
The Losties?
Yeah.
Just like Found.
How about the Wizards?
That's not
good.
Yeah. Really kick that course.
All right, here's time for our first section, which we like to call the Stack. He's gonna go places. First thing we're gonna talk about is Amazing Spider-Man number 573, tying up the New Ways to Die storyline. What'd you think of this?
I like this. It's been a tough. It's been long. I think this arc has been really long, and a lot of like Venom, anti-Venom that got a little kind of annoying for me. But putting the focus back on the Osborns, I think, was really nice.
Yeah, I agree. I haven't really. Despite loving John Romita Jr. and loving Dan Slott, and I think they do great work, I feel like this has been lesser work in their careers. It hasn't been bad by any means, but it just hasn't been exciting at all. And this issue was fun. It didn't necessarily redeem the whole thing, but it is good old-school Spider-Man smacking down on the Green Goblin, so that's fun stuff.
You know, and I still can't help. I just feel resentful towards the book because it took Dan Slott away from She-Hulk. And he had such a good thing going on there, and I know he rushed it at the end and he did all that stuff, but I would have loved to see him continue that arc.
Yeah.
And I'll never really forgive Amazing Spider-Man.
Well, do you think he left because of Spider-Man?
Yes, I talked to him. He told me that.
Well, there you go.
That confirms that.
Well, there you go. And then, of course, there's a backup in this issue featuring Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, that was not as bad as it could have been.
Yeah, it could have been terrible. Which I think there's a huge craziness in the Marvel Universe for Stephen Colbert. Mm-hmm.
I
don't get it.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, when Captain America died, he brought Joe out on the show, and now they want to suck his dick as much as possible.
Wow.
To put it nicely.
Oh. And we get to see some of that dick sucking right here.
No, I'm saying in the nicest sense possible, I like.
What? Your voice went away.
You fill in the blank.
You may not want us to.
Yeah. You fill in the blank. It
could be a very small blank.
Oh! Wait, you're slamming some
shooty blanks.
I don't know what the insult was, but it was awesome. The backup story is fine. It's Stephen Colbert swinging around with Spidey and acting like Stephen Colbert.
Yeah. They used a lot of the same jokes from the show.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. Yeah,
were the writers involved? Were the writers involved?
I don't know.
Mark Waid wrote it.
Yeah,
I think right.
This issue is fine. Would you say pick it up?
I'm excited to see what's going to happen next because now they've done enough. Like, here's new Spider-Man, and now they can start being like, let's bring in the elements of the old Spider-Man.
Yeah, I feel like they've been teasing a little bit too much. There's a thing in this issue where Norman Osborn makes a joke about him and Harry dying all the time.
Yes,
which is really weird.
Pulls back the curtain a little bit.
Absolutely, but that obviously refers to there's a lot of stuff that they haven't told us. I'm on board with this.
Yeah, in this Harry Osborn kind of maybe a bad guy, which is cool. And may I say you're doing a great job of holding that.
Yes, thank you for that. Cool, let's move on to the best issue of the week, Superman and Batman versus Vampires versus Werewolves. Sorry. This is one of the worst things I've ever read in my life.
This is a terrible comic.
It's unbelievable. So, can I have it back for 1 second? So, all right. So, first of all, I'm going to read you the first sentence in here, okay? Gotham City, more an ideal than a place where people flock from around the world to the sweet smell of success and dreams occasionally come true. But this alley is in the seedy underside of Gotham City, where failure and death have a scent all their own. Now, here's the thing. The whole thing's in a pseudo-noir style. Not to be a picky comic book fan.
That was taken from Charles Dickens' A Tale of Two Cities.
You're right. Who thinks that Gotham City is a place where people go to follow their dreams? And has one seedy underbelly alley.
If your dreams are killing a hooker, then you go to Gotham City. So, that's exactly what he means, perhaps.
The rest of the issue is like this, where this guy shows... Who wrote it? Kevin Van Hook. I looked him up.
Yes.
I feel kind of bad because we also slammed on him on our web show.
Badly, terribly.
And he has made a lot of stupid movies, to be fair. Things like Creatures from the Deep and Lab Rats. I don't know. I couldn't actually think of any titles. But terrible movies. He doesn't really understand who Batman is. And he especially doesn't understand who Superman is. Because Superman is not in this comic book. Yeah.
On the back page, it says, next issue, Superman shows up. It's terrible.
If you can't figure out a way to get Superman in the first issue of Batman and Superman versus Vampires and Werewolves, then you're a bad writer.
And there's one point where this woman's about to be mauled by a werewolf, and she says that she could have been at Cabo drinking 3 glasses of tequila. Like, damn! She could have been, but that would have killed her too.
My other favorite thing after that is this woman is sort of saved by Wonder Woman, who beats up on a vampire and then kicks him into a car and yells, "Come out here and take it like a man," which is a very Wonder Woman line to say. Because she's always like insulting people's manhood.
Yeah. Also, you want to play rough, do you? You pick the wrong woman to play rough. Yeah. It's a follow-up line. This is All-Star Batman.
Oh, it's great. Also, later on, Batman suspects a perp of something, and he's very suspicious of him, breaks into his apartment, and then the perp's like, "Oh, what are you doing here, Batman?" And Batman's like, "Nothing. Nice to meet you." Yeah. And shakes his head. When in the past 50 years have you ever seen Batman shake anybody's hand?
Good day. My name is Bruce Wayne. I'm the thing out of me in my youth, and I'm here. And also, what kills me about issues like this, like especially around Halloween, like a vampire shows up and everyone's like, "Whoa, this is a vampire! These things are real." When there are like 900 vampires in all the different universes and everything, they're friends with vampires.
There was a point when Batman was a vampire.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And suddenly he's like, "Vampires! I think this might be vampires."
Yeah. I should get on this.
Yeah. Oh, we forgot to mention the best part of it. This is number one of a 6-issue I don't know why this needed to go on for 6 months.
If you guys buy it, it could go longer. Maybe it'll be a maxi series.
Yeah, why do people buy something like this? I mean, other than, obviously, for the show.
Where's Keith? Because they're related to the writer.
Yeah. Line, that was a great line. Yeah, Keith loved that show. I don't know, like a series like the Kelly Jones Batman Gotham by Midnight.
Yeah, Elsewhere.
That's fantastic, and that's kind of like that, but a bad version of it.
Yeah, that's true. Cool. Don't pick that up. Let's move on and talk about Razzle number 3. What'd you guys think about this issue?
I liked it.
Thanks. Great. Burn the comic. Then come on. This is a great issue. Jeff Smith is just telling a great story. He's taking his time. It feels so rich, even though it's such a quick read. You just blow through it. But it's so interesting. There's so many ideas in here. The pacing's so good. Except for the fact that in the back of this issue, he's like, next issue coming in fucking March. So 5 months from now, we get the next issue of this.
It's ridiculous. I mean, granted, there's a part of me that's like, good, let him take the amount of time he wants to take to tell this story. But because it is so good and also at the same time so light on story, like one or two things happen per issue and they're usually pretty cool, but then to make us wait 5 months for it is a little aggravating.
It's like if a TV show only had their episodes come out in January after you waited a whole year for them to come out.
Are you saying people should wait for the trade? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying...
If you wait for the trade, you might die.
Yeah, be buried with the trade.
Now, okay, here's another question. Is it Razzle or Razzle?
I think it's Razzle. Yeah.
I think it should be Razzle.
I like
Razzle.
That.
Yeah, like
yeah.
Razzle.
See, I think it's Razzle, like Razzle-Dazzle.
Razzle-Dazzle.
Yeah,
like
playing
on
a
show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody? No, I don't forget anymore. Never. No. Okay. Pick it up, right?
Yeah, it's great. If you haven't bought the first two, go slowly pick them up over the next 4 months, and then pick up the next issue in March.
Yeah.
If we're all still alive,
come back. That's annoying.
What do you think is taking so long? Like, honestly.
What's the thing? He doesn't do much. I think he's kind of cocky about it. He's like,
do you know what? Between each panel that he writes, he rereads Bone.
He's like, yeah.
I lost. Good night.
I don't know. He doesn't have to wait for anybody else.
I don't know. I think he's just taking his time with the pictures and the story, is my idea.
That's very true. That's probably what it is. Maybe he ran out of staples.
These are on his own printing press at home.
That's why it takes so long.
Yeah. Cool, let's move on and talk about Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen one-shot. Finally, Jimmy Olsen has sex with a girl.
This issue was so out of character for Jimmy
Olsen.
Granted, he's been thrown around all through Countdown and everything, but in this, on like the third page, you see him in his apartment with this girl, and he's like, she's like, I can't hook up with you anymore, Jimmy. We need to get together or not. And he's like, sorry. Jimmy Olsen fucks. And like, that's it. The girl like leaves. He's like, well, sorry.
But it seems like he does this all the time.
I know, that's why it's so weird.
I know.
Well, and also it's preceded by a scene where he's hanging out in a bar with all of his hard-drinking buddies, and they're like, come on, you're not drinking as much as you usually do, Olsen. Who wanted to see a hard-drinking, hard-fucking Jimmy Olsen? I mean, other than James Robinson, obviously.
Yeah. I don't know. Then he rides a motorcycle through the whole rest of the issue. It's really weird. I think it's a really weird issue. And then the issue itself is really weird. It's like kind of long, and it gets into Cadmus stuff, which is cool from back in like the 90s. But then you see Dubalex there. He shows up, and then to spoil it for you a little bit, he dies for no reason.
He's sitting in a chair, and he's the typical dead person giving exposition right before he dies. He gives tons of exposition to Jimmy, and then Jimmy's like, "Hey, why is there water over the floor?" And he's like, "Why did you think my blood was red?"
Yeah.
Because his blood is made out of water.
Yeah.
I didn't think this was... It was weird. There's some nice moments in it. I mean, what James Robinson obviously does well is character moments. What I don't think he does well is necessarily action. So I don't know why he's on a Superman title where he's doing lots of action. Have you guys been reading James Robinson's Superman at all?
Yes.
What do you think of it?
Sorry.
Yeah, you think it'd be better, right?
Yeah. I expected a little bit more, but I mean, it's all right. I don't want to throw the comic across the room after I read it.
Yeah, no, but it's just there's nothing special about it.
No.
Yeah.
You should make it special.
Wow. I'm sorry, you guys.
What? No, they're like Starman.
Sucks.
Oh. It sucks. Yeah.
It sucks.
And they're saying they're chanting Starman, like I've been brainwashing them to do.
No. I don't think that's actually what's going on.
No.
No.
What are they saying?
They're saying stop it. Same words. Would you say pick it up?
No, don't pick it up. I don't think it's gonna really. I think all of the back information in this you won't even need to know for the next. Plus, the whole part we didn't talk about. There's a character here named Codename Assassin. That's a terrible code name. First of all. Second of all, you learn all this stuff about him, but like you don't. Who is this guy?
I don't know. They're like, well, he could float and read minds. Anyway, he has guns.
Yeah,
that's pretty much
really
it.
Weird.
I don't know. It's a weird issue. I would say don't pick it up. Let's move on. Talk about Ghostbusters, The Other Side, number one. What'd you think about this?
Well, I didn't even buy this because I was like, that's going to be lame. But upon reading it, I was like, oh, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
And the jokes in it are terrible, but the story is really interesting.
Yeah. The thing that's nice about the jokes is they are terrible, but there's not that many of them, which should kind of suck for a Ghostbusters comic because it should be funny. But the story is fun. It's about these mafia ghosts who decide to take out the Ghostbusters because they're sick of them grabbing all these ghosts.
They're like, quit busting ghosts. And Ghostbusters are like, no, that's what we do. That's
yeah, it makes us
well,
feel
then we're
good.
Going to kill it. Great. Except for... Huh? You'll find out. They're like, it's a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Yeah, big, spoil the end.
Yeah,
but I mean,
but it's great. It's a fun issue. Definitely recommend picking up. The art isn't half bad. Very surprising.
Yeah, except for when he makes a joke where it's like, "Yeah, we're gonna do that next balloon knot." Like, who writes a knot joke?
Keith Champagne.
Yeah, where is this guy?
1980s.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So pick it up, right?
They're making another movie, right?
Yeah.
What?
Maybe. Probably. Yeah.
Rumors. Rumors flying around.
Yeah. Some guys in the office are writing it. What?
Rumors starting here.
Yes. We are writing the new Ghostbusters movie, and then we are filming it ourselves.
And that movie we call Be Kind Rewind.
Uncanny X-Men number 503. What'd you think about this?
This is fantastic.
Yes.
This is... Matt Fraction and Brubaker are doing an amazing job here.
Yes.
It's great. I love seeing all these characters doing awesome things. Pixie is a character that I was like, I don't know. And then I was like kind of tearing up a little bit at the end.
Well, he said that he said before that he wants to make her like the Jubilee slash Shadowcat.
Yeah.
Her in Uncanny X-Men, and you know, I feel like he's doing it.
He's done it in here already.
Yeah.
That I could have cared less about before from the
right.
previous episode.
Well, this whole thing is very Claremont-esque in the best
sense.
But
in a good way.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, it's very reminiscent of it, down to the way they have the dialogue, the way it's structured. It feels like Claremont rhythms. The plot is very Claremont-esque as well. And it brings back some fun characters from that run. So it's definitely paying tribute to that in a good way. It really feels like a new start for the X-Men. I was very wary about this whole, we're moving to San Francisco, isn't that a big deal?
Yeah.
I didn't really feel like it was.
Well, especially because the X-Men comics lately have been going from big event without any, like, character development or, like, sitting in the X-Men a little bit. And this is, like, the characters, these guys obviously know the characters really well and just write really nice little moments and just put them all together in a great story.
Yeah.
And the cliffhanger at the end's kind of interesting. I don't know if we can talk about it.
Yeah.
We're going
to
spoil it. Put your go ahead.
I mean, I don't know.
Who's that?
I don't know. Who is it? Who could that possibly be?
Madeline Pryor.
See, now
I spoiled it. I know. That's a weird thing. Yeah, they're really setting up Madeline Pryor coming back. And there's the big event coming up in Furnace, which is supposed to be her. She's probably going to take part.
Yep. I think that's great. It's a lot of fun. It's really enjoyable. One thing that I do want to point about it, about the issue, and not... you know, to bring up this particular problem with comics. But at a point, Cannonball shows his ID at a bar, and he's just turned 21, I thought he was way older than that.
Wait, what's today's date?
10-29-21-08.
4 days ago, he turned 21.
Wow.
How do you know that?
Because it has his ID.
Oh, I was going to say, you act like you're pulling out of your head. I was like, wow. How old is Keith Pryde? Can she drink?
I mean, isn't Kitty Pryde still like 21 somehow?
Yeah, she's bullet years old. I just think it's a weird thing to make such a big deal about not really mentioning characters' ages in comic books, because then you get into this whole problem of like, well, let's be honest, they're 72 years old.
Yeah.
But then to be like, here's my ID, I'm 21, is a very strange thing to do.
Yeah, I thought that was a weird move. They could all just be having a drink and we would be cool with it. But maybe they had to be like, show the kids, you can't do this. I'm 21, here's my ID.
Yeah.
Or he was teaching them how to make fake IDs.
Yeah.
Or it's a clip-out thing. You cut in the issue, you're like, my name is Cannonball.
Yeah.
All right, and that's it for the stack! Okay, it's time for our next section, which is my favorite section. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go to Marvel's assistant editor, Jordan Wyatt. Hey, Jordan.
Why, hello there.
Great. Oh, excellent. Excellent character.
Got some questions here.
Cool.
I'd like to hear them. This first question is for you folks here. How has the response been to the magazine, and do you pay attention to it, or just keep on doing your thing?
The response has been good.
Yeah.
I mean, almost.
Great response. Great response. Yeah, and we definitely pay attention to it. I think I'd love to say that, like, I'm above, Googling.
No, we're so Google alerting, like, every variation of Comic Foundry.
Absolutely,
like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, we read it, but it doesn't mean we listen to it necessarily, I think, but we definitely take it all into consideration.
I've definitely had people email me things or talk to me about things where I'm like, yeah, that's actually a really good suggestion.
Yeah.
I mean, we're smart people, but we're not that smart.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, that's perfect. I'm glad we got that. We've got some not nice mail too, and
response.
I always get some.
He keeps
telling
me
about that.
Yeah, but you know.
It's mostly get rid of Laura.
Really.
Well, what's an example of something where somebody gave you a suggestion and you're like, oh, we didn't think about that, let's change that?
There was one guy who wrote an email, and then I talked to him at a Party Rocket Ship, because we do these articles about people and then we never see their art. There's a picture of them, but we, it's an artist, and we don't see any of their art. And I'm like, that's kind of a good point, you know, especially if we have new readers.
Is that guy Jeff Newell?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, God.
Jeff Newell's super, though. But no, it wasn't.
Woo! A little inside baseball.
Is Jeff Newell here? No? Okay, no. Just check.
No, he pays a guy to come and cheer when he says that. He would honestly do that.
But I mean, like, I've had other people be like, why no boobies on the cover? And I'm like, I hear where you're coming from, but no.
You hear what they're
coming from? I mean, on a
why no boobies?
Please, God, no boobies.
Yes. But I mean, I understand that people like it and it sells, but, you know, it's not really what we're trying to do. And there are other magazines for your needs.
True. Well, if someone who's like, I accidentally picked up this, I thought it was Maxim. I mean, it's not like they're going to be like, I better subscribe to this.
Boob shot of the up and is like, oh yeah, I want to see these guys' boobs. Probably has slightly different problems than you.
As a woman who grew up reading comics and I work in comic book stores and, you know, that whole thing, it's been great for me to hear from, you know, so many women readers who are like, thanks for not insulting me. And I'm like, no problem. Or, you know, people who brought that and given it to their wives or their girlfriends and they've, like, read the whole way through.
Or boyfriends,
you know, depending on the situation.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think that's great, you know, that's something you can give to people and it's not completely impenetrable if you haven't been reading comics for 20 years.
Yeah.
So.
That's great.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's get the next question. Actually, do we have...
Oh, yeah, private.
Yeah, raise your hand if you ask a question. Even though Pete is not here, we still have a gift for you.
Huh? Just that question.
I answered that question.
Thank you.
You
answered
it. Answer.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't look on the back. You got that one wrong. Sorry.
Wow.
Next question.
This one seems to have an opinion in it. How are you different from industry standard comic book journal?
Industry standard?
I don't know what that quite means.
Is it the comic magazine of record? I don't know.
I think I was kind of talking about this earlier. There are two main comic book magazines, Wizard and the Comics Journal. Wizard is very superhero heavy. The other end of the spectrum is the Comics Journal, which is very indie heavy, and which I think is very polarizing to the mass audience of comic readers. And so we're just trying to focus on reaching these people. That's the core difference, where they just typically cover indie comics and comic creators, and we wanted to feature indie, manga, superhero, everything in between. And they cost $12.
They do cost $12. Also, like, I mean, I don't know another way to say this, we're just a lot more fun to read. You know, I mean, like, I read the Comics Journal, but, I mean, it's like, it's more like, all right, like, I'm going to read the Comics Journal, you know? It's like, I'm going to read the Comics Journal, you know what I mean? It's something you sit down and you're serious about it, and there's a lot of serious material.
You put on a suit. Even if you don't wear glasses, you wear glasses.
You know, it's like going to work.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong, like, Comics Journal is great at what it does, but what it does just doesn't interest me personally.
It's like the Comics Journal is like the New York Times, and you guys are like, Maxim.
No.
No!
Why would you say that?
I mean, they do what they do very well, as Wizard, but just that particular publication does not interest me as a reader.
I mean, I think there's an accessibility issue for maybe new readers.
Absolutely.
For example. But no, I'm not saying anyway they're not good at what they do. They're very good at what they do.
But they're not. No.
Wow.
They're great.
No polarization there.
Yeah. Nice. Who asked that? Who has that question?
Yeah, raise your hand. Let's get the next question.
This one over here.
I guess this one is more for everybody. It's what is the comic you're most embarrassed to own?
Wow.
Like a non-ironic purchase? Or
it doesn't specify. We can ask them.
Superman and Batman versus.
Probably the biggest one.
Wow.
I mean, Justin, do you have an answer?
Most embarrassed. I would think yours might be that porno comic you bought a while back.
Oh, come on. No, that's cool.
That's right. Just tee
you would
up.
Think that.
Yeah, I know. I guess it depends on what you read every night when you go home.
Morning.
Cool.
I got to wake up somehow.
Yeah.
Oh, coffee isn't doing it anymore. Oh. I like to read stimulating literature in the morning, perverts. Probably for me, the Care Bears comics that I own are probably pretty embarrassing.
Wow. I don't know. I think I'm more embarrassed about the volume of comics that I own. So, because I go buy so many at the store, I'm like, they're under my bed, they're in this room where I keep my clothes, call it closet. On top of my dresser, to a point where I'm like, oh God, what am I going to do? Soon I'm going to have a real problem. So all of this, I'm embarrassed about all of that.
I'm giving him a moment of shame.
It's a life of shame!
So I have this comic, and it sounds like it's a pornographic comic, but it's really not. It really has, you know, meaningful narrative and depth. I think it's called Gay Truckers in Love. Is anyone familiar with this comic? It's really not a porno comic. It's really,
it's a great
really
title.
Not. Tim?
You're asking...
No, I'm passing this conversation
on you.
I think for me, it's not what I own, but it's what I don't own.
Oh, yeah.
The comics I haven't read yet.
That's the nice
that are
agent.
Still in the queue. I know, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, because I was out of comics for a while, and I kind of came back in, and I'm still trying to catch up and between, like, a day job and we're doing this and reading other comics.
What are some of them
that you haven't read?
If you want to, everyone wants to boo at you. So
yeah. I'm still reading Sandman.
I think we were all satisfied.
Preacher.
I'm also still reading Preacher.
But still reading.
No, I've read like I mean I have them like in my
they're
shelf
in the queue?
And I've read. I'm still getting.
We can summarize
the
it. There's a guy with a butt face. That's just that's all you can do.
But he's writing
have you read Watchmen?
Well, see, that's the thing.
He's read Watchmen.
I can't read everything, and I obviously, you know, haven't. So that's why I surround myself by a very talented staff, people like Laura. We have a lot of great resources. We have very good specialists on staff that I can rely on.
Like
that we rely on.
Yeah.
You can't read, you can't read everything.
You can, but we have friends that do. One of my friends, Alan Kessler, who writes for Comics Mix, we were talking earlier, you know, that we were wondering, you know, the dinosaur in the Batcave ever come to life? And we texted him, and he knew the answer. He knows
there.
Things like that.
Yeah. That's the kind of the very tough thing about our particular magazine, because it covers such a broad field of comics. It's really hard to read everything for all of those genres.
I can say I haven't read all relevant manga, because that's not my thing. That's not what I do. But we do have people who do that. So I don't judge you, Tim, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Not much.
But I think people do in general. I mean, I've certainly gotten shamed a bunch of times about things. I hadn't read Understanding Comics or any Sin City until recently, when I was shamed enough to be like, oh my God, I'm just going to pay for it and pick them up. I'm so sorry.
I love reading comics out of shame. I just really enjoy them when someone's like forcing me.
You don't have any comics? You don't have any like...
Oh, I do. I'm not going to say
any
of
them here.
Let's see. I have never read any Preacher. Not
what?
That
no!
I know, I'm sorry.
Oh man, you have to be shot at sunrise.
Well, at least I got a couple hours. I haven't read all of Frank Miller's stuff, but like, I don't know, it doesn't... I see stuff and I don't want to run out and read the rest, because it's annoying.
What? What do I mean? Can you explain that a little bit?
His stuff is... I feel like I get it. It's like, all right, cool. That you cut his legs off. Cool, I got it. So like, if I go back and read it, and then it's like, in this one, he cut his tongue out and put it in his ear. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, cut his legs off. Thank you. I get it.
We're talking about Frank Miller, right?
Yeah.
Comics in general.
No, yeah.
Okay, here's my question for you. Have you guys ever read the Wikipedia page of something instead of reading the comic?
I've done
something
that for movies.
For movies.
Most of the Saw series.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to know what happens next. What?
No.
It was too difficult for me to watch Saw. Too long.
Why did you feel like you needed to know about it? Well, it might come up in casual conversation. The plot of Saw 4.
It might.
True. It's a bad date.
And yet, I haven't read most of Sin City.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We're making a lot
it is
of enemies.
It is kind of for the same reason, actually.
Yeah.
I made fun of you a little bit, but same sort of thing where there is some amazing stuff that Frank Miller has done.
Yeah.
And his run on Daredevil is amazing. Right?
Yeah, I love that. I love it. I've read that one.
Yeah. Cool. Raise your hand.
pleasure having you ask that question. And that's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Jordan. All right. It is time for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek. Yeah! First thing we are going to talk about today, as we talk about every week, is heroes.
Yeah!
Tim, you've been watching Heroes a little bit this season, right?
I watched everything except for last night. Yeah. Okay. I've seen everything in this
season. What do you think about this season, this series, legacy?
For me, the show at its highest, at its best, is only good and not great.
Why is that, do you think?
The first season, there was always... I definitely enjoyed the first season the most. Because we were still, meeting the characters and figuring out what they did, and there always seemed to be like a holy shit moment in every episode, but I feel like they've blown their wad many times.
Ooh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's
the industry.
There was a holy shit moment in the episode last night, which you did not see. Well, yeah. Sorry about that.
But because they've done that, like, it's not shocking anymore. Like, I'm no longer wowed by their wow moment.
What about the guy that can travel through time? It's amazing. Every time he does it. Yeah. When there's a lot of that in this episode, as on last night, where it's
great. He's like Pikachu.
Yeah. It's so good. It is. And he's treated as like this.
No, he is. I think he's probably a better actor than that. And they've had him do other stuff. And they let his character, Hero, grow to a certain point. And then they completely regressed it and made him like, ha 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 ha!
Yeah, he's like bubbling.
Oh, I'm funny Asian man!
Stereotypical Asian man.
And I'm not even being racist. This is literally what they have him do on the show.
It's really frustrating to watch because he's just a terrible hero, number one.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's, at least in the last episode, there's always that part that's like, why don't you just go back in time and fix it? You know, at least in the last night's episode, you got that illustrated a little bit.
Yeah,
that was pretty, that was all right.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will say, there was this moment where he was like, they were talking about, Ando was like something about a white man. And
he said that was racist.
And Hero was like, that's racist. I was like, fuck, that's ridiculous. And Hero was like, stop being stereotypical. Let's go crazy time! I was like, okay, I think you are a little bit off.
I mean, I have really enjoyed the sort of heroes villains thing where the heroes become villains, the villains become heroes. But
that has been interesting.
That's been interesting. I love Siler now. I can't help it. Yeah. I just kind of do.
I hate it.
But it's a lot easier to watch the series. I never watch it live. I watch it on DVR. I watch it online. And so I can just skip the whole Mohinder subplot.
Fast forward through the entire thing and watch it.
No, I can't deal with the Mohinder subplot.
Yeah, the Mohinder thing.
Oh, God.
It's like, have they not seen The Fly?
Yes!
Yeah.
Verbatim.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Well, they did see The Fly, but they're like, we're going to do a tribute. And by tribute, we mean copy it.
Yeah. And Mohinder, I don't know the actor's name, but his acting has continued to go downhill. And this episode, he was somewhat surprised, and he's like, what? And it's like, do another take.
We don't have time.
Also, Donya Ramirez, she didn't hardly spoke English last season. And now she's like, it's... She's like ESL languages, the most question.
Yeah, it's ludicrous. Also, I have consistently thought across the board that this show is ridiculously racist because they always introduce characters that are exactly who you think they are. That, like, the people in New Orleans are all African American and Katrina survivors across the board and into voodoo. And then this season you have a magical black man living in the desert who leads everybody on a spirit journey. And it's the same thing with Maya, where they let her talk fluent English, but then she's like nagging her bad and being like, come on, you better get outside. It's ridiculous.
Sorry.
It's terrible.
Again, I'm not making it up. That's how she talks on the show.
I know.
Yeah. No, but, I mean, what do you think? Is she dead? All the people in the webs? What's going on?
No, definitely.
I wish they were dead. I mean,
it's going to come out that he's like saving them for some important thing.
That's okay. I don't buy. I kind of buy what's going on with Siler, and I kind of buy what's going on with Claire. I don't buy Mohinder at all.
Yeah. I don't honestly buy pretty much any of the characters this season. All the stuff about reversing from villain to hero and whatnot. We were talking about this the other day, that I feel like it's taking the characters and pushing them by plot rather than by characters, to saying, like, would it be interesting if we switched everybody? Who cares what the characters think?
Yeah.
Or what we've established at all?
It got to the point in this episode that I felt like the characters were like, what do we have to do in this scene? I have to say this, you have to say this. I go back in time, I get hit with a shovel. Okay. And then it happens, and you're like, and the character's like, whew, my homework's done. And so it just seems so like just like
it's mechanical.
Viral. Yeah.
It seems mechanical. I mean, I think it's there's a spectrum of it.
Yeah.
And Mohinder's certainly on the horror end of that.
My big question about the show that I don't understand is I feel like there's, you know, you have a couple of comic book people working on there, but more than anything, it feels like every single person who watches the show knows how to fix it, except for the writers. Why is that?
Hollywood.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can't see the forest
nice.
For the trees.
Solved. We solved the problem, you guys.
And there's no Kristen Bell. That's the...
Yeah. Well, at some point there will be.
I don't like
The bad news, or good news, I guess, for Heroes fans, is that they're already starting to cast the next section, so at the very least they're going to be going through the next section, which is called Fugitives.
Oh, nice.
What do you mean cast? Are they going to bring in a billion more characters?
Yeah.
They're all
need
more characters.
Have one arm.
That's it?
One arm's bad.
They're all
pretty good.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Buckle
one
up.
One arm, and then he's going to disappear after an episode. It'll be great. Next thing we are going to talk about, this is actually kind of sad news that we'll talk about for a little bit. Yay! J.G. Jones is off of Final Crisis.
Could we bring the lights down to see this terrible picture?
Here, bring it.
So this is a little bit looking into the future. This was at New York Comic Con outside where we were doing some filming, and this is Grant Morrison taking a picture with J.G. Jones being like, oh no, I hate your art, and then J.G. Jones stopped drawing it.
Yeah. So kind of terrible future predicting.
Yeah, well, what do you think happened here?
He obviously can't do it in the time frame that they need, and it's so he posted something on some site where it was like, I'm sure the only three or four fans I have left are going to be disappointed.
Aww.
Oh, that's like super sad. And when we talked, when we interviewed him, he was like, obviously so nervous, but obviously so excited about it.
To mention, this is before it even came out.
Yeah, this was ages ago. This was last year.
Yeah.
And to find out that he is not going to get to do it is so, he must be broken up.
Yeah. Well, this actually gets back to a little bit where we're talking about Razzle, if you guys prefer.
Yeah.
Thank you. Should they have waited? Should they wait until J.G. Jones finishes Final Crisis to release it?
Well, the thing is, all of the DC Universe is hooked into this. And so if they wait, like, it's going to ruin, like, every comic book process.
The amazing
Civil
momentum.
War, too, you know? I mean, if this is the way you're going to do it on time. If you can't do it on time, do something else.
Yeah.
Because
right.
This is what's required of you in this job.
But wasn't everything with Final Crisis already messed up to begin with?
Well, what does that mean? I mean, of course it was. What does that
mean? I mean, but, like, if it was already messed up at the very beginning.
I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
But the people dying and the
because of countdown and the new gods being dead. And
yeah.
I don't
see
that.
Like,
how does that affect J.G. Jones?
It affects Final Crisis. And who draws Final Crisis?
Well, I guess
he's saying it was messed up at the beginning. Why not mess it up at the end and let J.G. Jones finish it? So
yeah.
That
just do like this
unit.
Thing. And
that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, he said.
Well,
I don't even know what you're saying. It doesn't make any sense.
Let J.G. Jones finish it.
So
oh
just
my
take
God,
longer.
Is this the end of Comic Foundry?
We do this all the time.
The good thing is that Doug Monkey is coming in to finish and do the last issue, and he's very good.
Cool.
Good for Doug.
But the same thing happened with Infinite Crisis, and it sucked with that last issue where they just rushed everything, had very scritchy, scratchy pages, didn't even add backgrounds until later.
I mean, do you think it's just not realistic with a lot of these artists?
No artist could finish seven issues.
No.
It's never happened.
But I mean,
right,
you're dealing
right?
with somebody
yeah.
who's
yeah.
had issues with this before. I mean, maybe they just need to be more realistic going into it.
I absolutely think so. I think that, like, they need to do one of two things. Either realize that it's a product and get Mark Bagley to draw everything.
Yeah.
He just drew five comics while I said that last sentence. Or just finish the whole series before you release it.
Yes.
Which is mildly impossible with something like Final Crisis that is so tied into everything. But then that being said, if they had finished Final Crisis to begin with, that problem you're talking about where Grant Morrison is like, they didn't read what I was doing and then contradicted everything I was doing with all those series. If they had finished Final Crisis, all seven issues, before they released it, then the people who are writing the lead-ups would have been like, I have read this and I understand how we're getting here.
But I feel like the reason that that can't happen, the reason it can't be done so far ahead of time, is the same reason that comic book companies won't ship their comics to comic book stores the day before they come out. You know, because it's so tied to plot line. It's so tied to, you know, what happens on the last page that, you know, giving it that much time to have spoilers get out, I think they do that as untenable.
Yeah, they can't finish the New York Times 4 days in advance.
Yeah.
Think about that.
That's a really good point.
Speaking of which, let's move on to the next thing we're going to talk about, which is the Sarah Palin comic book.
The title, I mean, Sarah Palin's obviously the title, but the above title is Female Force. Whether she's part of some sort of all-female force or a female force in her own right.
Jesus.
Pick up the issue and find out.
Yeah. She is part of a female force because they're also releasing a Hillary Clinton comic book.
Oh!
Which is very nice. So we've had.
Already out?
What?
Is that already out?
Maybe. I think this is a companion to it, though.
Right. Because they did the Barack and then the Hillary.
No.
And here's the thing about it, actually.
Oh, they did the Barack and McCain and then they added Hillary, right?
Except that's IDW. Barack and Obama are IDW,
right.
And then.
Bluestone.
Yeah, that's IDW. It's okay.
He pulled the shit out of that
guy. Oh, no. Now I won't.
Oh, wait,
be.
Yeah.
I thought this is what you picked up.
Oh, no? Nope.
Yes, also our advertiser.
Your own magazine.
Oh, I guess you don't read it either.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
Now I'll only get 10 cents for this good
book. Peter Lappin praise will be.
With IDW, or is it with Blue Water?
No,
Blue Water.
And IDW was a little bit pissed about it, actually.
Yeah, well, they did something, and then Blue Water was like, we're going to do that, too. Except with this figure that everyone's going to go crazy over.
Yeah.
Like who?
We talked about this a little bit.
But read the newspaper. Everyone loves her.
We talked about that. Everyone.
Yeah.
What newspaper are you reading? The Asbury Times?
No, the Sarah Palin Times.
The other Sarah Palin comic
that
said the Tales from the
Crypt feature.
Yeah.
Sarah Palin, I think I'm
going to
buy that one instead.
Is that true?
No, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah Palin
real.
Zombies.
Right,
I'll pick
that. Cool.
Are you guys going
to pick up this issue? Anybody?
Like hell.
Is it affiliated with her or like?
It doesn't matter.
She wrote it. She wrote it and illustrated it.
She corrects.
I assume it's a biographical comic, just similar to the John McCain Beauty review last week.
That was
a doozy.
Did you guys read those?
Yeah.
Well,
what did you think of them?
They were pretty much what I expected.
Terrible, right?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So that's coming out at some point, probably before the election, so check that out. And that's it for the Week in Geek! It is time for our next section, which is trivia, and for that we're going to turn it over to Mr. Justin Tyler.
I'm going to do trivia in Pete's stead. So if someone would like to win a gift certificate to Midtown Comics to the tune of $25, please raise your hand. Raise your hand. Yes, sir! Are you in the front row, casually raising your hand? Come on down. You can stand right here. What's your name?
David.
David, audience.
Woo!
David, audience.
Hi, David.
We're going to do some trivia. If you haven't come to the show before, then you're in big trouble. Because we're doing trivia about Pete LePage. Pete LePage just got married. It's all right. It'll be fairly easy. Question number one. At Pete's wedding, Pete's younger brother predicted that Pete would name his first daughter A. Girl, B. Wolverine, or C. Little Pete with tits.
I'm gonna have to go with A.
Actually, it's B. This is a true,
yeah,
true thing. We'll give you that one. Everyone at the wedding went crazy when he said his daughter would be Wolverine. It was hilarious. If Pete were here this week, he would have given this review of The Amazing Spider-Man. A. It blows. B. It sucks. Or C. Wait a second, I finally get it. My reviews are stupid.
I think I'm going to have to go with It sucks.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah. That is correct. It's actually C. He would have said C. Question three. On Pete's honeymoon, which is happening right now.
Wow.
After he consummates the marriage. After. He will turn to his new wife and say,
oh my God.
Bagged and boarded. Snicked. Or you just got LePage.
I think you just got LePage.
Yes, that is correct! One for three, you win! You win! Thank you very much.
All right. Wow, you better hope that Pete never listens to
this. That's for you, Pete. Happy wedding.
All right, as we know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they're nice enough to sponsor the show. But what are you guys looking forward to? You don't know.
I don't
know. Because you need to see the top list.
I know.
Yeah, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to the new X Factor, the new Invincible, and there's an indie comic coming out called, or an indie book, I don't know, graphic novel, coming out called French Milk.
I was going to say that. That looks
really
cool. Yeah,
because I read the interview on the Comics Reporter while it was up before they made him take it down or whatever. It looked really interesting.
It's a travelogue of someone as a young person went and traveled around France.
Yeah.
It looks really cool.
Ooh, great. Yeah.
And she really likes milk in France. It's special and different in some way.
Cheese. Well,
yeah, now you don't need to buy it. Filled
with cigarettes. Filled with
cigarettes. Tim?
Final Crisis 4.
Yeah. Who drew it?
Carlos Pacheco and J.G. Jones. They brought in Carlos to do this issue with J.G. Jones. Yeah. And then two issues later, J.G. Jones.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So sad.
That's why he's crying.
Apropos to our discussion earlier, I'm looking forward to the Elektra Omnibus from Frank Miller. That should be pretty cool.
Are you
he's
really
also a Death Note box set.
Oh, is there really?
Yeah.
What is that, all 12 volumes? Or?
I don't know, but it sounds awesome. I love Death Note.
Like, you like
Death
Note?
Was out,
like boxes.
When Death Note was out, it was my favorite comic.
Yeah,
hands down.
Yeah. It's very good.
It's great. We've been reading Monster, actually. Have you guys read
that?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Also very good.
Very amazing. Second to last volume just came out. If you haven't picked it up, pick up Monster.
I'm looking forward to Fear Agent, number 24, Eye Against the Eye, Part 3. It's been great. Continues to be very good. And we should say that Secret Invasion number 7 comes out. If you're still like that.
Really?
Both Secret Invasion 7.
Skipping Secret Invasion 6?
Six came out. This is the last the issue where they fight, and then the next one.
Oh,
there
are 8 issues?
Yeah.
Remember,
it's been 8 months of this?
Yeah.
We've been talking.
There's been a lot of action, so. Cool.
Even if you're
where?
I don't know. I'm kidding.
At home.
That's right. Recently married.
Recently married. Yeah! Everyone's married but me now.
All right, next week on the show, we're going to have Todd DeZago from Perhapinauts.
Yeah.
Also, our freaking guest, Kimmy Gatewood, doing our goodbye tour in New York City.
Yeah.
Dressing guy here should be pretty cool.
L.A.
Oh.
She'll
be back.
Yeah, she'll be
back.
Wow. Everybody comes back.
Maybe we should talk about our show on November 11th.
Oh, should we?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No. On November 11th, we are going to have a pretty big show. Very excited about this. We are going to have Jeff Katz, who worked on Booster Gold, which is very
Ooh,
great
yes.
series,
which is awesome. We're also going to have Matt Fraction,
Ooh.
Ed Brubaker, and Brian Michael Bendis.
Whoa! Be a show to be here, and maybe get your tickets early, because it probably will sell out.
Yes. So,
and on November 4th, we don't have a show, so go vote.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have. That's kind of a bummer. We should have said that first.
Always bring them down. Bring them
Well, let's bring them up with a bunch of issues of Comic Foundry.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm leaving New York. I'm sorry.
Where are you going?
What?
I'm going to Portland.
Again?
I've never been. I mean, that's the interesting part. I've never crossed country to go there. I've never been to Portland.
Oh, you're driving?
Yeah,
so
I'm driving.
That's awesome.
But I've never been. Like,
so what are you going to be doing in Portland?
I'm going to live there. No, I mean the same thing I do everywhere.
Oh,
I just write stuff.
That's a good city to live in.
I hear very good things.
It's good. They have great donuts.
They have the most breweries per capita of any city like in the world.
Really?
We can go out about
that.
It
gets better.
All that.
They're in the new
Adidas
Seattle.
And Nike base there.
So before we go, a quick question for you guys. Comic Foundry on stands now.
Yes.
Check it out online, comicfoundry.com.
Yes.
Yes. We have portions online.
What is?
Portions. Parts.
Parts.
Yes.
What?
And the next issue comes out in December.
December.
Yes, late December.
Late December. Okay, so definitely.
Right around Christmas and the rest of the holidays.
What? Yeah.
Just in time for it?
No.
Just time for the new year.
So it's good for like a late gift. Like
yeah.
I forgot that Christmas was happening this
year.
Right. Cool.
Wow.
You can check us out every single day of the week at youtube.com/comicbookclub. A couple of people we want to thank for being on the show. We want to thank Laura for being on the show.
Yeah.
And most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Good night, folks.